Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
So look in verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. The Bible says this, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," so number 1, let me just say this to you, what we're talking about is scriptural. It's scriptural. Spiritual gifts are scriptural tonight. Don't get it confused, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but don't get it confused with talents. It's not the same thing as a talent. A lot of lost people are talented, but a spiritual gift is not a talent. It's something that the Lord gives you, and the Holy Spirit enables you to be able to use it. Now, look at this. "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren," so who is he talking to? He's talking to the saved. He's not talking to the lost in 1 Corinthians 12. He's talking to the saved. "I would not have you ignorant." So what is he saying to us? He's saying this, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant about it. Paul's writing to the church of Corinth, and he says you need to have a knowledge of this. Look in verse number 2. "You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." Now, I read that, and whenever I read that, here's it. Now, stay with me right here. Some of y'all will not agree with me, and some of you will agree with me. Whenever I read that, I thought, well, them idols must be dumb. They must be just dumb. They must be crazy. It's crazy. And one writer said this, he thought that they was stupid. Now, here's what that word means whenever you study it out. It means they couldn't talk. They was dumb. They couldn't talk. Idols can't talk to you. It's a dead god is what he's saying. And he says, "I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts." And watch what he says. "You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols," these idols that could not, these quote-unquote gods that could not speak to you, "even as you were led." Now he says in verse number 3, "Wherefore I give you to understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And they are different of, and there are differences of administrations by the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but in the same God which worketh in all." Now, it's interesting, verse number 3, 4, and 5 brings the Trinity into play. What did he say? He said the same Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, the same Lord, which is Jesus, and the same God, which is God. Amen. It's amazing how God puts the Trinity at work and how the Trinity is seen in our Bible tonight. He goes on to say in verse number 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severely as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Now, he goes on in the chapter to begin to use a great analogy of the body and to how the body has eyes, how the body has ears, and if the whole body was just an eye, then you would never hear. If the whole body was just an ear, then you would never see. And he begins to talk about how the body has many members that does many things, but is made up as one body. When we think about the church tonight, can I say it this way? The church has many members that is part of one body, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And God gives each of us a different. Think about this. If everybody had the exact same spiritual gift, it would really be a boring church. Are you with me? If everybody had the exact same personality, if everybody looked exactly the same, if everybody acted exactly the same, it'd either be a really boring world or it'd be a really wild world, one of the two. But what he is saying to us is this, is there is many that brings it all together and makes the church work. And the spiritual gifts, is as we look at this, he begins to explain it. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, let me give you a little introduction to just 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. It deals primarily with spiritual gift. Why Paul addresses spiritual gifts? Well, spiritual gifts are an area where ignorance causes confusion, and confusion leads to division. A lot of churches, and I've mentioned it in passing, but to my shame, this is the first time in 20 years that I've really dove deep into it with everybody and done a study like this. And there is a lot of ignorance today when it comes to spiritual gifts. The Corinthians church was spiritually gifted, yet spiritually immature. Gifts were being used to elevate individuals and not to edify the body. Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God does not give us a spiritual gift to elevate us, but to elevate Him. It's not something to cause us to have pride, but it's something to magnify Christ in a way that we can serve Him more. Now think about this. Spiritual gifts are given after salvation and not before. He begins to deal with that in verse number 2 and 3. Paul reminds them of their past pagan life. Before Christ, they were led by the false spirits, influenced by emotional and supernatural experiences. But now, he's dealing and says the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus Christ. A true spiritual gift will always point to Christ and not to the person using it. Can I say that again? A true spiritual gift being used in the right way will always point to Christ and not to the person using it. I remember, and I can't remember exactly which two preachers it was, but it was two of the well-known preachers of years gone by, and they went and heard them. And one come out, and after he heard the one, and he said this, he said, "Boy, such and such was a great preacher." The other one was D.L. Moody, and when he come out from hearing D.L. Moody, here's what he said: "Boy, what a great God we serve." Whenever we come out from hearing a preacher, it ought not be, "Boy, what a great preacher we heard," but, "Boy, what a great God we serve." And a true spiritual gift is not given to you to build you up, but it's given to you so you can edify Christ and build Christ up. I hope you understand what I'm saying on that. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus Christ. The test of any spiritual gift is Christ-centeredness and not our personality on display. Then he begins to talk about the source of spiritual gifts in the triune God. There's diversities of gifts, the same Spirit. There's differences of administrations, the same Lord. And then there's diversities of operations, the same God, in verse 4, 5, and 6. And again, I think it's so interesting to watch how Paul, being led by the Holy Spirit of God as he is writing, uses a triune God and keeps the Trinity in it, because it is one God manifested in three different personalities. Amen. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. As we think about that, there's an important truth that we must remember. Spiritual gifts are not self-produced. They're not learned talents or rewards of maturity. The Spirit gives the gift. The Lord assigns the ministry, and God produces the result. Boy, that's good right there. Can I say it again? I wish I'd have thought about it and hadn't read it and then wrote it down. But look at what the writer says. He said, the Spirit gives the gift, the Lord assigns the ministry, and God produces the result. And I say this to you, if anybody ever gets any help from your teaching, if anybody ever gets any help from your hospitality, if anybody ever gets any help from your encouragement or from your gifts, as we go through these, you'll understand that more. I'm telling you, who empowered you to be able to do that? It was God. It was God that done it, amen? Now, think about this. When we look at it in that way, that spiritual gifts are not self-produced, but the Spirit gives the gift, the Lord assigns the ministry, and God produces the results, this removes pride. We can't say, look what I have, and it removes envy. We don't have that at all. Why? Because it's all of God. God's the one that done it. God's the one. I'll never forget, and I'll just give this to you in passing. I'll never forget. Years ago, we've been here 20 years, so it's probably 25, 26 years ago. We was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I preached one night, and whenever I got done preaching, there was 25 or 26 teenagers got saved, and we got back on a great big bus with a bunch of kids from the church that we was in a prison, but from the church that I was staying at, and their youth choir went and sung that night. Boy, when I got back in the bus, everybody started talking about, man, that was a great message tonight. Boy, God saved souls tonight. Man, that was a great message tonight. Brother Jonathan, before I got back to where we were staying at, I just convinced myself I'd knocked a home run. Are you with me? Some of you, y'all understand what I'm saying. And I'll never forget the next night I didn't preach, but the next night I was scheduled to preach again. We got back, that same youth choir was going to go with us, about 50 or 60 of them. We got back in that big bus and started down the road, and the chatter in the bus was, I wonder what Brother Barker's going to preach tonight. Brother Lloyd, I thought, oh boy, if they thought that was something Tuesday night, wait till they hear this one tonight. And I'm going to tell you something, Brother Williams, about 3 minutes into it, I couldn't even hardly read my text. I couldn't get my thoughts together. And let me tell you what happened. I took something God did and tried to take the credit for it. And boy, God will humble you real quick whenever you do that. We must remember God enables us to do what we do. Then there's the purpose of spiritual gifts. When he goes to verse number 7, spiritual gifts are given to every believer for the profit of all. They are not given for personal recognition or spiritual competition or division in the church. They are given for building up the body, meeting real needs, and glorifying God through our service. One body in many gifts, as we continue looking through the chapter. As you move on in the chapter, Paul will show that no gift is unnecessary, no member is insignificant, and no believer is giftless. It don't matter who you are at the church, God has a place for you at the church. He has something for you to do. And you know what? I was thinking about this today. I was down in the office studying, and I got to thinking about on Sunday mornings what it takes for everything to happen at Amazing Grace. And I got to thinking about those parking cars, those driving the vans, those working in the nursery, those teaching Sunday school, those doing youth church, those doing the smaller kids church on Sunday, those that take up the offering, the ones that run the sound system, the one that does the live feed, the safety team, the ones that plays the instruments, the ones that leads the singing. And you know what I come up with? It takes a whole bunch of people to have church on Sunday morning. It takes a whole bunch of it. Yeah, there's a bunch of people here, but there's a bunch of people behind the scenes making it all happen. You know what that is? That's people putting their spiritual gifts to work for one body to glorify Christ. So you say, preacher, why do I do this little test? Why do I look at this? Because this is what it does. It helps you understand where you can serve the best at. My wife said that she knew what mine was, and I took the test and proved her wrong. And I said, I knew what hers was, and she took the test, and I said, I told you so. No, she took the test and proved me wrong. So that's what it's all about. It's simply about this. There's no gift that's unnecessary. Every person sitting here has a place you can serve. Every person has something that you can do at the church, and in doing that, the whole body gets help from it, and Christ is glorified in it. Now, let's look at this. What are the spiritual gifts? What are the spiritual gifts? And I'm going to give these to you in passing. Now, we're going to go in depth in it, okay? But I really believe that we can narrow it down to seven different things. And this is the way that that test is laid out. It goes along with these. And let's think about it. There's prophecy more than just a gift, a call and equipping by God to preach His Word. Then there's ministry or helps, a desire to serve and help God's people. There's teaching, the ability to teach God's truth, helping people understand how His Word applies to them. There is exhorting or encouragement, the ability and desire to encourage others in the Christian life. There is giving, the ability and desire to give to God's work and to God's people. Now, again, we're going to look at these in depth as we go through this series, but that giving is not just necessarily a giving of money, but God uses some people. There's a lot of times that I'll go preach meetings, and when I'm preaching meetings, somebody will come up to me and they'll say, hey, I thought you might enjoy this, and they'll hand me a little something. Matter of fact, I got stuff from all over the country that people has given me. You know what they're doing? They're using a spiritual gift that God gave them to encourage somebody. So there's given. There's ruling or administration, the ability to lead and administrate part of God's work. And then there's mercy, the ability to feel the pain of others and help them during trials. You ever met somebody and in a time of need, and before you know it, you've just dumped your guts to them? You ever met somebody like that? And let me tell you what it is. They have a spiritual gift of mercy. What is that? The ability to feel the pain of others and help them during trials. And help them during trials. I have a few people that I will talk to. They're not preachers. And I'll talk to them when I'm going through things. And it's almost like they can feel my pain whenever I talk to them. You know what God's done? God's given them a gift to be able to do that, all right? Now, let's think about this. Understanding spiritual gifts. Understanding spiritual gifts. Excuse me. What are spiritual gifts? What is he talking about here? Well, let me begin by saying that spiritual gifts are not to be confused with your natural talent or abilities, even though God gives us different skills. Everyone, including the unsaved, has abilities and talents. Whether they are a plumber, a musician, an athlete, or someone who does not believe in God at all. So a spiritual gift and a talent is two separate things. It's two separate things. Again, a lost man can be talented. A lost man can be talented. And I'm not going to go in depth in this, and I'm not going to throw rocks here, but I'm going to tell you something. You listen to some of the people sing today that is not saved and not in church and not singing church music and things that edify Christ. They're very talented. You listen to some people play instruments today that's not playing them for the glory. They're a talented person. That is not a spiritual gift. That is a talent that they have. Now, think about this. Spiritual gifts. I better be real careful right here.
Always going to get water everywhere.
Matter of fact, it was 5 years ago last night, Brother Bailey. I seen the video. It popped up in my memories yesterday that you was holding a bottle of water in the over there in the Sunday school for you, and it absolutely exploded. It was hilarious. Now, think about the. I'm sorry, I had an ADD moment. Spiritual gifts are given to a person after he puts his faith in Jesus Christ for his salvation. Unsaved people do not have spiritual gifts because they are spiritually dead. They're spiritually dead. They can't have a spiritual gift because they're spiritually dead. Divine enablements given by God and empowered by the Holy Spirit is what gives us spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are given for service and not for status. Here's another text that we'll go to before we're done. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10 says this, as every man hath received the gift. As every man hath received a gift. So what are they? Now think about this. Why God gives spiritual gifts? Why does God give spiritual gifts? Well, here's what the Bible said in Ephesians chapter number 4. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 12 and 13 says this, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So why God gives spiritual gifts? Again, I've already said this. It is to glorify Christ. It's not to exalt you. It's to glorify God. It's to do more for Him and to help His kingdom. So think about this, foundational truths. And I know I'm just giving you some thoughts tonight and laying the groundwork before we dive into this. I truly believe that every believer, every saved person has a gift. Every saved person. God didn't save you for no reason. God didn't save you just to sit on the pew. That's not what God done. God saved you to use you. You say, well, preacher, sometimes I wonder if God's done with me. I can answer that. Look up here. Let me ask you this question. And I want you to answer it out loud. Are you breathing? Now, if you didn't answer that out loud, somebody go get the AED. If you're breathing, God's not done with you. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for your life. God wants to use you. And can I say this to you? It should excite us to think that God wants to use us. God wants to use us. For several years now, our family has been planning a trip out west and saving for it and planning and trying to get it all together. And Lord's willing, it'll all take place this year in September. And I've been reading a bunch of stuff about Glacier National Park where we're headed to, and I'm watching a bunch of stuff on it. And today I watched a couple videos on it from a Christian, and they said this as they was showing the snow-capped mountains over Lake McDonald. They said this, to think that the one that spoke all of this into existence wants to do something with me is amazing. And boy, isn't that true? To me, some people think that the ocean is just beautiful and the sand is just amazing. I think it's nasty. You never feel clean there. It's salty all the time, and you can never get enough. The sand stays in your vehicle until you sell it. It never comes out. Once you've seen it, you've seen it. I mean, you know, you don't. The only thing that's different when you step out on the beach each time is the people that's out there. Now, you may think it's absolutely amazing. I don't. But I'm going to tell you right now, you get in a Jeep with me early in the morning. Well, we can't in the morning. It's going to be raining. But you come up here about 5 o'clock on Friday morning, and we'll ride up to Fox Hunter's Paradise and sit right there and watch the sun come up over them mountains. And if everything hits just right, you'll get that little golden, that about 2 or 3 minutes when the sky looks like it's on fire. And if you want to see some pictures of it, I'll show you, because some of y'all didn't know 5 o'clock come twice a day. But it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. And to look at that and think the one that makes all of that happen wants to do something with me. Saturday, some of us was hiking at Stone Mountain, and we went back up in above Widow Creek Falls. I'd never been on back up in above it. We went back up there a little bit, and we was standing there, and I looked at the guys with me, and I said, we was looking at these rocks. It was carved out in the side of the hill there, and the way there was just natural, just pretty much tunnels went in behind it. And I said, you know, people says there's not a God. How does people look at things like this and say there's not a God? And to think the one that made every bit of that, that put every bit of that into, he wants to do something with me. He has something for me to do. He has blessed me with a gift to be able to give back to him and to, I don't know about you, that excites me. That excites me. So some foundational truths about this is I truly believe that every individual that is saved by the grace of God, I truly believe that they have a gift. Now I want to ask you a couple questions, and I hope you'll speak up and talk for a minute. Now, I know this is uncommon, but it's all right. Usually you just holler amen, but I need more than amen on this, all right? Here's something I want you to think about when we think about spiritual gifts. Why do you think God chose to distribute different gifts instead of giving everyone the same ability? Somebody speak up. Repeat the question. Boy, I knew that and that one right there real good in high school. Why do you think God chose to distribute different gifts to individuals instead of giving everyone the same gift? Different needs. Different needs. People's different. Different areas of service. And yeah, I think we can go back to the beginning. It would be boring if everybody had the same one, wouldn't it? Would it not? What about this? What problems arise when believers don't use their spiritual gifts? I didn't hear that. Guilt. Guilt. Well, that's a good one. Hinder. People that needs to hear are losers. I like the way he put that. But that's true. That's true. I think we could say it this way, that it goes back to the body, and we'll look at that in chapter number 12 because he does a comparison to it. I thought about this today. I can't eat a bowl of cereal with my left hand hardly. I just can't. But I drive with my left hand. That's kind of scary. But I put my whole life in my left, but I can't eat a bowl of cereal with it. But I can just find with my right hand. The whole body is hindered. I think we could say it that way. The whole church becomes hindered. In other words, they may be something that you could do, but because you're not using your spiritual gift, or you don't know what your spiritual gift is to use, then the whole body is hindered because of that. Well, Let's move on just here real quick, and we're about done. We're running out of time. I think about this, the motivation for using our spiritual gifts. The motivation for using. Let me read you a verse out of Romans chapter number 12, and I read this to you just real quick. Romans chapter number 12, he says this in verse number 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." The motivation for using our spiritual gifts, I would say this to you, The motivation for that is simply this. Why should we use our spiritual gifts? The motivation to do that, the motivation to learn what it is, how to apply that. Here's the reason why. It glorifies Christ. That's where it all comes down to. It glorifies Christ. It glorifies Christ. Here's a question. Let's talk about this just a minute. What does it mean to be a good steward of your spiritual gift? What would you say to that? What does it mean to be a good steward of it? You're giving grace and glory to God. Somebody else? Let me get my good ear. Faithful. Faithful. Somebody else? What does it mean to be a good steward of it? Use it appropriately. To be willing. What about that? Yes. It's like I said Sunday, it's not if God will use you. That's not the question tonight. It's will you let God use you? Because God will use you. No matter, like I preached Sunday morning, I know a man who can salvage you. No matter your past, no matter what you've done, God can forgive us of that, and God can use us for His glory. God can use us for His glory. I know tonight's been a little bit different, and you're used to 3 points in a poem, but I don't have a poem, and I guess you could put 1, 2, 3 beside some of that and have 3 points. But it's simply this. As we began looking at, we got to establish just right off the bat, what is this? Where did they come from? Who are they for? What are they? It's different things that God gives us. Who did they come from? They come from God. How do we use them? We use them for His glory. We use them for His glory. I really hope, Miss Daniel, you come start playing softly. I really hope that you'll do that little test that I gave you. And if you want to blow it up big where you can see it bigger, if you'll go on to the internet and you'll go to Striving Together Publications, and when you go to Striving Together Publications, if you'll do a search, it's free. It's a free download. It's free to use. That's the reason we used it. But if you'll do a search, and whenever you do a search, do spiritual gift test, and you can find it on there, and you can download it, okay? And you can blow it up. It's free to download. I want to say this to you tonight. Preacher, why study spiritual gifts? Out of everything else in the Bible, why study spiritual gifts for a few weeks? Well, number one, because the Lord said to. But number two, because I think it's a need. There's a lot of people that could be used so greatly in the church, but where do they be used? Where can they be used the best at? The older you get, the more you want your time to count. And when we're young, the old saying is we run and gun. But the older you get, the more you want your time to count. Every minute of every day, you want to apply it to something. And as you do this spiritual gift test, pray and ask the Lord, hey, God, help me to find what mine is. And then, God, help me to use it, not to glorify me, but to glorify You and for the upbuilding of Your kingdom and to help my church. That's what it's about, the church. Everything. Man, how many times have I said this? Everything revolves around the church. I think every ministry ought to lead back to a local church. The church is what Christ died for, amen? It was the church. So God help me to use it to edify the church. And in doing that, I edify Christ. Amen.